What Halliburton, Neesmith, and the Pacers were able to do last night was truly remarkable. And on the line right now to talk about it, and also we'll get a feel on the Western Conference Finals as well as a three-time NBA champion. And he is an Odyssey Sports NBA insider. That's Danny Green. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Danny Green, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
I'm good, man. Appreciate you having me. I've been good. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you coming on. So how do you put it into words? How do you even describe what you saw last night? I was there. I still can't believe what I did witness with the Knicks and the Pacers.
It was so crazy. It's one of the wildest meltdowns that I've seen in a long while, and I've seen a couple of them. Thankfully, I don't think I've been a part of anything that drastic on the bad end of it anyway. But yeah, I said I went to take the dogs out. I took the little one, put him in a bath. I'm like, you know, Knicks up like 12, 14. I think this game's pretty much over. Next thing I look up, I'm like, oh, this is the game. They're about to smoke this game. Turn the game on, and I'm like, they're about to go into overtime. And I saw Hallie hit the shot. I was like, oh, the first one he shot it, I thought he missed it. Then it bounced in. I think they just lost. So it was a wild range of emotions. It was crazy. And once I knew it was overtime, that Indiana had the momentum, I knew it was kind of curtains for them. And that's a game that they needed to win. Cat played really well. Jalen played really well. And you front-loaded with your starters. You cannot lose that game, you know, because they play so many minutes. You're not the deeper team. So, and the pace that they're playing at is not favorable to New York. So that's a tough one to lose. Like, I hope that mentally, they bounce back okay, because that one hurts your pride.
But you talk about the pace, and that was clearly a factor towards the end of the game. How do you flush this? You know, because if you're a Knicks player, right, you have to sit through it today, and then you get a game tomorrow. But it feels like the series is on the line tomorrow, because if they go back to Indiana down 2-0, this goes from being up 14 and thinking you're going to win game one to then, oh my God, you may not find a way to get four in this series.
I mean, well, they had the game. So they were up, you know, 17, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I know they were up 12 to 14 for sure.
14 with 2:45 to go.
Yes. So they had a lead. It's just about making sure that you don't allow them to get free. Like, you got to watch a lot of film, see where they made mistakes, see what the turnovers happened, the missed shots, where they had opportunities to even slow the game down, where they could have fouled. And they got, instead of giving them threes, the three-pointers they gave up. So watch a lot of film, but just reiterating, you know, this is where we need to be playing at. This is the speed that's going to help us. We cannot get up and down with them all game. We can do this in spurts. We can do it in phases, pick and choose when we want to run. But we playing in the 120s, that is not favorable for us, especially in a seven-game series. So I think they'll be okay. They have some good vets there. They have guys that have been in that situation. So OG's been around for a while. Mikhail's been around. Jalen, Kat. They all got, you know, 8 plus 10 years or so in the league. So they're veterans enough to flush it and let it go, but just have to watch a lot of film and just keep reiterating, you know, where they need to be living in, the space they need to be living in.
How about Halliburton? Because not that long ago, he was voted by his NBA players as the most overrated player in the league.
Yeah.
He's had several of these moments. This isn't just a one-off. He's been unbelievable in the playoffs.
Nah, he's having that stretch again, that stretch where people, you know, had him in high, like, he's a very good player, right? It's just that people expect him to play that way the whole, like, his whole career. He played that way his whole career, he'd be one of the greatest point guards to ever live, you know, one of the, but that's just not feasible. It's not hard to, it's hard to do. It's not feasible. It's not realistic. So he's having a moment right now. He's playing in that space where he said he's playing unbelievable, confident, unconscious, where he was getting 20 and 30 assist games. Like, it was like a year and a half ago, where in the beginning of the season, before the hamstring, he was playing unbelievable, out of his mind. And, you know, people were like, you know, he's one of the best point guards ever. And then from there, he didn't, you know, his shooting wasn't that good. And they're like, oh, he's a little inconsistent. He's not the guy that we thought he was. And then people were upset that he made the Olympic team. But he's showing people why he's not overrated, you know, and that, like, why they had him in that space to begin with. Because he has moments like this where it can last a month or so, where he's one of the best players on the floor, night in, night out, against some of your favorite players. So, and when it can win you a series, it can get you, the way he's playing basketball, he can get his team to the finals. So yeah, he's proven he's not overrated.
Danny Green here with us. And by the way, Insider Calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Let's get out to the West. You look at game one, the Oklahoma City Thunder in the second half were just the machine that they've been all throughout the season. A lot of attention, obviously, now on Anthony Edwards, who many people think could be the next face of the league, but he wasn't that aggressive in the fourth quarter and had 0 points. What do you want to see tonight from Anthony Edwards as they look to even up this series?
I've been saying this all playoffs and mostly most of the year, is that he's got to find a way. Finch has got to find a way to put him in position to not just accept the double team and be doubled and just give the ball up and rely on other guys to make the plays for him. He, you know how Steph does a throw and go, he does a rescreen and get out the double team or beat the double or find ways to counteract it. He has to get more of that or be in places where they can't double as easy and where he can find easier plays to make for his teammates. So I want to see him be more aggressive, but I give a lot of credit to OKC. Honestly, I think Minnesota has overachieved in my book in this point. Like, I didn't see them as Western Conference Finals team. But they are a team that can definitely make this tough on OKC. I just think they're outmanned, but they got to put Ant in better positions. He's got to be more aggressive, and I want to see them make it a series. So yeah, like I said, he's got to kind of try to put the team on his back, and he's capable of doing it on both ends of the floor. But ultimately, OKC is just the better team, but they show vulnerability, they show inexperience. So you can get one or two wins just off that alone. And you know, you have Ant and Julius playing great games, you can will another one. You can force this to where, you know, they get tight and it gets to a game six or seven, you got a chance that you could probably sneak out. But ultimately, I had OKC in the series because they're just the better team.
Are you good with the SGA winning the MVP, or did you think it should have been the Joker?
I'm not a fan at all of co-MVPs, but if there were ever going to be a year, I thought this would be the one. I honestly thought Shea should have got it last year, and Joker should have got it this year. So I guess it worked out in one way or another, but I think they both were very worthy of it this year, and this could have been a co-MVP year for sure.
You know, going around the rest of the NBA, a few more moments here with Danny Green. A lot of talk about the future of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Do you think he should request a trade? Do you think it's time for him to leave Milwaukee?
I think it's time if he wants to win. You know, if he wants to, because he's not going to win, especially with Dame being out all of next year. Dame is older now with that Achilles. You know, Jason Tatum is younger, so he could probably come back a little faster and be himself. Like, Dame's he's a little bit older. It's going to take some more time. And said he won't be back until after All-Star break, even if he did get back. But he won't be the same guy. So if you don't have Dame, you're not a championship-contending team. And if you're trying to win, you're not going to do it in Milwaukee. So you got to look other places. But, you know, the owner in the front office said they're not looking to make fair deals to make it comfortable for Giannis. They're going to do his best for the organization. They did give him the max extension, which they should. This is a business move.
Yeah.
For them, they're going to do what's best for the business. So,
and obviously they won that championship before, but it's like now I just don't see what the move is here where they could put themselves back in that championship contending destination. Like, that's the tough part.
It doesn't look like there's any free agent that can change the trajectory of them right now. It looks like it's a start over type of situation for them. And they need to do what OKC did. Either go to OKC and get the picks, go to Houston and get players and picks, but you need to get some young youth talent and picks to ultimately refresh and start over. Your Chris Middleton's gone, your Drew Holiday is gone. You know, you got some people in replace, but they're not what those guys were. And Dame is hurt now, the guys you've replaced them with. So all you have is Giannis left. And Giannis, as good as he is, he can't win a series or a playoff or a championship by himself.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting maybe if they hit up the Spurs. I know you're a former Spur, Danny Green, with us.
Yeah.
The second overall pick, you maybe get Castle or Fox, and then, you know, a few more picks, and you have Giannis and Wemby, then it remains between Castle and Fox. That'd be intriguing to me.
I think there's a lot of fruitful opportunities in all of the Texas teams. Houston, San Antonio, and even Dallas. They have picks, they have players, they have a lot of things you can receive back if you're Milwaukee to look at, which I'm okay. And obviously Giannis wants to go there, but because he's looking at a tax-friendly state, and Florida, there's not much there going on. And Memphis, Tennessee, there's not much there that you're going to grab in return, unless you start over with Ja and Jaren and just try to reef, but I don't see that happening. And I get to the other teams that you're looking at in Texas, Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas, and they have some pieces and picks that can kind of flip you pretty quickly. You could probably rebuild it within a quick 2 or 3 years, you know.
You mentioned Dallas. Like, if you're Dallas and you could get Giannis Antetokounmpo, would you give up the number one pick? Would you do that? Would you part ways with it?
I would, especially if you're in a win now situation. If you want to win, I think Cooper Flagg is a great player. I don't know if he's win now ready right now. But I think Giannis is more stable. It helps take pressure off AD, takes pressure off Kai. Now all you do is try to draft the point guard, somebody, another they can go alongside Kai instead, or you can even get Tyus Jones for a minimum in free agency. Like you can find a point guard somewhere that can keep you stable. But yes, I would, especially if you said Nico's let it be known his windows, the next 3 or 4 years, and that's all you have AD and Kai for being at their best. So if you want to win in the next 3 or 4 years, I'm parting with the number one pick to get Giannis.
Last thing I'll ask you, just going back to the Halliburton shot last night, and I know it didn't end the game, but it got it to regulation, and it was
It
unbelievable.
should have been. It was such a great shot. It should have ended the game, but yeah.
Did that remind you at all? I know you were on three championship teams. Did that kind of remind you a little bit like Kawhi's shot up against the Sixers?
It definitely did. It definitely did. Oh, but luckily for us, that was for the game. We didn't have to go into overtime. So we didn't waste all our energy celebrating. But very much similar. But that one went straight in. It seemed like it took forever in the building for it to
Four
go in.
bounces, I think it was,
But I'm sure people in that building in the garden were like, they thought it was out, and then they were celebrating, and then it dropped in. They're like, oh, shit. So, yeah, it's probably that moment.
And that was exactly right. I was there last night. Everyone turned to the left, and everyone was like, oh, wow, the ball's up in the air. They won the game. And then you just see
They're
the
like,
Pacers
yeah.
run the court, and you had no clue what ended up
What
happening.
happened?
There was definitely a lot of curse words that were falling last night. That's Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Danny Green. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Danny Green, thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.